Thanks, everyone. I know it's been a long day. It's been a longer day for you guys than it has for me, so we'll try to make this as humorous and interesting as possible. And for that effect, I've actually got a few victims in the audience who've already been conned into taking part in this workshop. So be ready, you're up soon. First of all, I just want to say that I feel a little bit intellectually underdressed. I was looking at the CVs of so many people in here, and I don't know about you, but I felt, I felt underdressed, all these smart people here. And so that's why I'm speaking about podcasting, which is not rocket science. It's technology, but it's simple technology once you have a go at it, like anything. And so I won't be using words such as problematise, discourse, post-structuralist, unpack, hysteriography, or my PhD research. In addition, ICT in education often gets a bit of a... people tend to exaggerate what it might be able to do in education. And so this workshop is not about these quotes that I've found in different websites and newspaper articles about podcasting. A compelling new paradigm, a change in the balance of education. The promotion of podcasting is a commercial conspiracy by Apple to sell more iPods. You might feel like this about it. If you haven't heard of podcasting in education, then you've likely been hiding under a rock. Podcasting can help education realise one of its noblest goals, to make a better conversation out of a thing we call civilization. And my personal favourite, which is verging on the religious here, we're in the middle of a revolution, and I feel incredibly blessed to be part of it. So this workshop is more about the use of podcasting in education, and not really about how revolutionary ICT is in education, because the kids definitely don't think that it's revolutionary, as you might have picked up. So what I'm going to do is just give you a short rundown of sort of the educational rationale for using podcasting. When I say short, I mean about four sentences, okay? And then we're going to get our victims up to create a little podcast, okay, using this program here, which is a free program called Audacity. And using one of these things here, which is a headset with a little microphone. Okay? That's all you need to create a podcast. So first of all, I think the main reason for using podcasting in education is that it's an oral way of telling stories. Students, in my experience, and my experience is with Year 9 students doing pre-20th century Australian history and Year 8 SO students, they're not, in my experience, primarily concerned with themes or ideas in history. We get to that later, but they're first fascinated if there's a story. And most of our cultures were oral before they were literary, and even those literary cultures were often the elite that were, could actually read and write. So podcasting allows me to tell a story in a succinct, focused and prepared way. And as you'll see on a little video clip I've got later, kids are really frustrated with the fact that, I often have to tell stories or facts or something about four or five times because someone else has been talking, or they didn't hear because they were playing with their iPod, or, all that kind of stuff. So the first reason is that it's an oral way and an oral way of telling stories and listening to stories. And my school has a high level of students with literacy problems, so it's a good one. The second reason for using podcasting is that MP3 players are student-preferred technology. And I can't emphasise that enough, because all of us use technology that we're comfortable with. I was talking with someone before who was talking about the librarian coming to work the projector, and she was like the only one in the school who could work this projector, and suddenly they're watching a film, a movie. It was, I don't know how many years ago, 40 years ago. Teachers back then wouldn't have been comfortable with that technology. Probably you're comfortable with some kinds of technology. Who's comfortable with using a DVD player? Yep. Who's comfortable with using a word processor? Yep. Email? Who knows how to use a data projector simply and easily? Good. Very good. Most of us use technology that we're comfortable with. For students, the technology that we're comfortable with, like DVDs, data projectors, email, is stuff that, I mean, they just think that's so simple. And why would you even do that? Students use mobiles, MP3 players, they use websites like MySpace and Facebook to communicate, not even email anymore. And they have a personal connection with technology. They see it less as a tool, like we do. So they use technology not primarily to extract information, as using DVDs and internet research kind of emphasises, but to create and communicate. So even the stuff I've done with podcasting is really way behind the way they use technology, because I'm using it as a way to communicate information. So that's the rationale. If you're not convinced, you can talk to me later. Okay, let's get these 5 volunteers down. You know who you are. You've got the little bit of paper. They each got half a sentence, and then they had to complete it. Okay, now to create a podcast, and you need this program or some other program. If you're using an Apple computer, you use GarageBand. This is a really simple free one off the internet called Audacity. And as you can see, there are 3 different tracks on this file at the moment. There's an intro loop, an outro loop, and the third one is, I think, Our Sunshine. It's a Paul Kelly song about Ned Kelly, I think. Okay, so what I'm getting these guys to do is put this headset on, and each of them will read out what they've written, okay? And this will put another track down the bottom. And once we're finished, we won't do this because we're running out of time, you can mash them all together, and that creates a file that can then go on an MP3 player of any kind. Okay, so who'd like to go first? So you're last, is that right? Okay, so sorry, what's your name?
Serena.
Serena.
So
off
read this with my response, is that
with
right?
With your response, so just the one sentence down. Just wait till I hit record.
Oh, no, say that again. Don't read that.
No, read it all. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Go for it.
Mobile phones and iPods in the classroom make me want to confiscate them and go back to the good old days when we didn't have to rely on such technology just to get by.
Well done. Thank you. Okay, so we'll just scroll down.
Later.
Yep, thanks. And you can see that it's made a recording of her voice. Okay, you can go next.
All right.
Okay, just wait till I hit record.
Hang on, there's someone on the line. Yep. Okay.
Okay. I do the humour, mate. Okay, go for it.
If I wasn't on my holidays here at the summer school, I'd be back at home and I'd be swimming, putting sausages on the barbie, turning the sausages over.
Okay, beauty. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Okay. Yep. So what's your name?
Jackie.
Okay, Jackie. On it goes. None of you have lice.
No, I have to say, this was given to me and I wasn't given the instructions.
Okay.
Passed on by someone else. So I've just made a few things.
Oh, they've winked out.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so just read out whatever you've got. Okay. Now, ready, go.
Australian history should be compulsory because we need to make sense of the present and have a sense of the past and how we got here. However, it should be within a broader context. Not indoctrination, not celebration history, but diverse, rich in critical analysis, and not content-driven or one group's narrative. Sorry. Like I said, it wasn't short.
Well, I was being non-academic. Okay. Is it Felicity?
Yeah,
yep.
I'm not as deep and professional as all these other people.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Off you go.
If I didn't teach history, I would like to think I could be Clive Owens' personal masseuse. That's just a fantasy. I'd probably just teach English and Italian.
Thank you. Well done. And applause. And last one, Jane. Here you go. Okay, go for it.
Summer schools are a fantastic idea because I've networked with some amazing teachers from all over Australia.
Okay. Oh. Okay, guys, you can all have a seat. Thank you very much. Can you give them a round of applause, please? Thank you. Okay. Now, we won't put this all together today because it takes a little bit of time to move these tracks so they're in the right place. Okay, but basically, you can move these different tracks so that they're in the place that you want them. You can delete any bits you want. You can put in music. You could do an interview with someone who's, you know, expert on the topic you're doing a podcast about and insert that into here. So, for example, I was doing a podcast on the Bendigo Jail, which is in Bendigo, where I come from, and there's a woman who's a historian in Bendigo who knew about the executions that had happened at Bendigo Jail. So I did a little interview with her, recorded it on this as an MP3 player, and then put that into this program called Audacity. So if you can read, you can learn how to use this program. If you can go to the website that I've done to sort of document my progress with this, and there's some simple instructions about how to go through this. Once you've done that, that can go on a student's MP3 player, or it can go on a school network, it can go on the internet, it can go on anything that's a computer and has any memory, so a mobile phone, whatever, okay? And then you can listen to it from there. So, let's have a look at some other stuff. We'll just look at a bit of jargon first. Okay, so who's actually heard of the word podcast? Okay, keep your hands up if you've listened to one. Keep your hands up if you listened to one from the ABC. Keep your hands up if you've made one. Okay, put your hand up if you've used one in an educational setting. Great. Can someone just, some bold person tell me how you use them? Yeah? Yeah?
We had, in human biology, we made them on each section and the kids use them as revision in exams.
Fantastic. Someone else? Yep.
I got my E10 students to interview war veterans.
Yep.
And record it.
Yep.
Use their photographs.
Fantastic. Someone else? Yep.
We had some students that were from Korea, couldn't read the instructions very well, the books and assignments, and so they would have someone else do a broadcast for them so they could record that.
Fantastic.
We went back over old audio tapes which we had of oral histories in the past, transcribe those as MP3 as well.
Yep, great.
And then we also, sorry, as a final thing for new student orientation, we had kids that went round and recorded, say, war gear, you can now see this, and such like for school tour.
Great. That's fantastic. And you can see that a podcast is really just a kind of sexed up name for a recording. Okay? The only difference, well, there's two main differences. The first is that you can manipulate more easily what you put into it. Cool, like that. That'd be good. Mobile phones in education. Amen. So you can manipulate what you want to put into them. You can put interviews from other places. If you're using Apple, you know, iPods, you can use video and photo as well. The other main difference is that if you put them online, you can subscribe to a podcast. So instead of having to go to the ABC website every time you want to get a podcast off it, you can subscribe to the, the Sundays. Was it Sunday Night Live? Was it Philip Adams? You can subscribe to his show and it'll get sent to you each time there's a new episode gets sent to your computer. Okay, that's the main differences. We're not going to talk about blogs and feeds because I don't really understand them either. Okay, how are we going? Creating podcasts, we just did one. It's all free apart from, what do we got? Time, internet access, and a headset. This was $60 when I bought it. It's probably about $30 now. Okay. Actually, the thing with time is, like, it took me about an hour to make my first ever podcast. From writing a script, researching everything, recording it, putting music to it, you know, and ending up with something I can use. But these days I would do one in 20 minutes. So if you know your stuff, if you know your content, then making one is actually quite easy.
But also, I think it's not just us making
it. Absolutely.
I'm a primary teacher, and sometimes I think kids do an old report about something.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know how to do this. I can say that. Your project is to do a podcast about whatever it is, and I'll listen to it in the car going home with my thingy and plugging
the... Isn't thingy such a fantastic word. I love thingy.
I only just started for Christmas.
But you're right, and podcasts can be used for students to communicate what they're learning and to demonstrate their knowledge very easily. I get my kids to do it about, you know, bush rangers. There's a primary school in Epsom in Bendigo that did it about former students. They interviewed them. We did a podcast about our school, which we then exchanged with a school overseas in the USA. So it's very easy to do international stuff as well. Students creating this stuff is fantastic as well. The way that I actually ended up, I first started out doing things. Yes?
I was just going to ask a question. Have you looked into doing vodcasts?
Vodcasts?
With video.
Yes, I have. But the problem is if you're using Windows, so not an Apple, it's pretty much impossible at the moment. If you're using Apple and they've got all the Fandangle programs, then you can use video and photos really easily, which is, yeah, great. But not, I can't do it on PC. Yeah. So the way I got into it was by doing historical field work. I wanted to have a way of having kids in small groups going around locations, having a list of tasks, a list of things they had to find out through observing where they were, but also having information, stories that were being told to them. Now, I wanted to have about 5 groups. We can't afford to get, 4 teachers out of class to go and supervise them. So having an MP3 player allows me to give them the same story, give them the same information, but split it up into 5. So we had a collection of interesting places to visit. Bendigo's gold mining country. It's really interesting. We had a podcast for each place, so for the Catholic Cathedral, the jail, one of the old mining sites, the statues around the CBD. They had a task sheet to fill in and some prizes. We won't listen to that podcast because it's embarrassing. And this is just an example of a task sheet that I used. So what were cells 6 and 7 used for? They needed to fill that in. And the answers came from both their observation and of the stuff they were listening to. They could also, when it says record on iRiver, each group had one of these, and they would record their observations on this instead of writing them. This is the a blog that I set up. It's basically a way of putting all the things that I've done with this project in the one spot. So little bits of video, photos, the podcasts. Go and have a look. It's got some instructions on how to use them, how to put things on the internet, if that's what you would like to do. Now, this is some interesting stuff about what students thought about this. The big thing that came through was the way that MP3 players allowed students to absorb information without distraction. Now, your schools are probably really silent in the classroom and you're able to speak and, hold forth on whatever you'd like to, and they listen. But mine's not. So time and time again, kids said it's great to be able to listen to something without distraction, because I ended up using these in class as a sort of topic introducer, to do a 5-minute podcast on the topic we're going to do next. The MP3 players were easy to operate. I mean, that goes without saying for most of them. Just want to show you this little video clip, because it's a video clip of a few students. I'm asking them questions about what they found good about the project. So just hopefully this works. Now, sound. What have we got?
This section is on MP3 players and learning. I was struck by how student engagement seemed to centre around taking non-reading sources of information like books, being able to complete other tasks simultaneously, having fun, but especially being...
Is that going up?
Yeah.
Is it enough?
How about using the MP3 player? How did that go in reverse? still white.
Sorry. There we go. Oh, fluoro. Beauty. Okay. Just wondering. Yeah, we won't watch this one, but in the other excerpt, they talk a lot about how they really enjoyed the oral aspect of podcasts. And what I was saying before, they just really thrived on that. Some uses for podcast are of two kinds. There's teacher-directed stuff, so introductions to topics, revision for exams, which someone's already talked about, integrating them into field work, and specialist knowledge. So you might find podcasts on, you know, whatever topic you want to do, on the BBC website or ABC website. And then there's student-directed ones. So, you know, demonstrating their knowledge of a particular topic instead of writing an essay, or as a response to some kind of fieldwork experience or excursion. Some pros and cons. Obviously, I think there's a lot of advantages to podcasts. They already exist and can be used. They're student-preferred technology. You can repeat the content quite easily. They have a preference. Students have a preference for oral learning. They already possess the technology. I mean, I teach at a Year 7 to 10 school, and it's in a low socioeconomic area. But I reckon probably two-thirds of the class have some form of MP3 player. It might not be an Apple with 80 gig of memory and able to play video and everything. It's probably like cost $20. But a lot of them have got them. So when you're working in groups, it's very easy to share. You can get these little headphone jacks that split it into two earphones. I often use them in class in a station setting. So, you know, have three or four stations, one of which uses MP3 players, the others use other things. It's relatively simple and cheap. All the software that I've used is free. And most of you would have either a laptop or access to a computer at your school and internet access, so you don't have to pay for any of that. Some of the negatives. It is time-consuming to begin with. It's still content-oriented rather than, you know, skill-oriented when it comes to historical skills. It is limited by access to technology if you want your students to create them themselves, because they need access to a computer. It's difficult to create podcasts in secondary schools because of timetabling constraints, because usually at my school I would only ever have up to an hour and a half with students at any one time. So unlike a primary school, I can't spend a lot of time creating podcasts with kids. Some schools, I don't know whether yours is, could be against them, okay? A blanket ban, which frankly I just think is counterproductive. So if you can, you know, put a case to your school for actually the sort of sound use of already existing technology in an educational sense. Because to me, you know, I don't own an MP3 player. You might have seen in my blurb, I grew up without a television. I really like the Amish, and so I'm not sold on technology much at all. But I guess I see podcasting not as a gimmick or a fad, but just another tool that can be used within, you know, an existing sound educational framework. So if you've got one of those, and I hope you do, and this is what this is all about, then inserting podcasting into that shouldn't be a problem educationally for your school leadership. But I understand if there are problems. Blogs. There's some good websites. Ready-made podcasts. Creating podcasts, that's my website. And a couple of software sites where you can download stuff. And if you don't want to write it down now, just go to the website and it's all there as well. Let me think. I think that's about it. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So what happens
laptop on a table where you're having a discussion, it would record the whole discussion. It'd be a bit of a pain in the bum to go through it and edit out all the, you know, ums and ahs and stuff. But, you know, what you can do.
So we know we're really
Yeah, well, the really interesting thing is that they would rather listen to a podcast with my voice on it than listen to me in person. The voice of the podcast is mine, but they'd rather listen to the podcast.
They control the button too.
Yeah, true. Sorry, I should have explained that. Oh, sorry, an iRiver, I've stood it, is a brand of MP3 player.
Oh,
okay. Like iPod is the Apple brand of MP3 player. This is a different brand. So they, each group going around the jail had one of these, as well as their own. And then when they had record on iRiver, it meant I wanted them to record something of their observations onto this piece of machinery.